Welcome to the Lavo Show podcast. Conversations with outstanding human beings whose love has been inspired and transformed by Osho. Take a deep breath and enjoy the show.
Hello and thanks for tuning in. My name is Swaram and I'm the host. Today's episode is part of the new edition of the Lavo Show podcast dedicated to sannyasins who did not meet Osho in the body. Today our guest is Swami Atmo Ravi. Ravi was born in 1974 in Minsk, Belarusia, and presently lives in Moscow. Ravi is a musician and singer-songwriter and took sannyas in 1992. Ravi, welcome to the show. How are you?
Yeah, thank you, Swaram. I'm great. I love what you're doing and I'm happy to be on the show.
Amazing. Okay, great. So to start, tell us, how did you take sannyas?
Well, it was like this, that I started to be interested in esoteric things and meditation stuff pretty early, around 15, 16 years old, when I was still at school. And first I got into, it's called the Living Ethic. It was a thing started by Rerich. It's a Russian painter who went with his wife to Tibet. And so they talked to Mahatmas of sorts. And so I got into that, and then I was very interested in esoteric things. And then at some point I met a friend who was collecting books. He gave me Osho book. He said, this book is for you. And so it was a book called Perfect Master, and it was still reprinted. Somebody retyped it. It was a like illegal book, so to say. And I started to experiment with meditation right away. I was 17 at the time. So this is how it all started. And then at some point I got a book. It was the first compilation released in Russia. It was the Love, Life, Laughter. Very small, but I remember reading it. My hands were shaking and I felt that I met something really huge in my life. And from then on, it's like was just deepening and deepening and becoming bigger and bigger. Then the first group happened with it. For me. Actually, it was happening these days. It was from the 1st till 5th of May 1992. So I turned 18 during this group. So my first dynamic I did when I was 17, because my birthday is on the 3rd of May. So it was just exactly 28 years ago. This is how I met Osho.
Okay, great. Can you tell us a bit about the sannyas moment? Who gave you sannyas? You know, how did that happen?
Oh, okay. So that was the first group, and there were already, like, I think 70 people on that group. And then the next group was Mystic Rose, which was in June, started 22nd of June 1992 in Minsk. And I wanted to be part of it, and I could see that almost everybody filed for sannyas at that time. We had to fill up a form and then send the form to Pune and then receive a letter with the name. And I could see that like 80% of the group wanted to become sannyasins, and I thought I don't want to be a part of a crowd. So I didn't go for it. And then anyway, the whole my life changed. I didn't want to be in my town. I went to Petersburg, and I heard about sannyasins building a commune. So I went there. And then at some point around October or November, I felt that I tried to live my life according to Osho's words. And no matter what was happening in my life, I would always try to remember Osho quote and seek his guidance and look in the books. And so I caught myself on this. And I thought, it looks like I am a sannyasin, so why not make it official, you know? So I filled up the form, sent it, and I received a reply a little bit later in January that now my name is Swami Atmo Ravi, and the date of sannyas is 31st of December 1992. So I got it maybe 2 weeks later, and it was a very special moment. I did actually a very, very interesting ritual for myself. I got the letter, went upstairs. I lived outside. We were building a commune nearby Petersburg in the forest. And I went under the roof, and I put candles for myself. Was there completely alone. So I had a very individual celebration just for myself, from myself. So I opened the letter and kind of took the moment in as much as I could. So that was the so to say, the initial initiation that I did to myself, and very much in the spirit of modern times, I would say. But then I had some kind of a small ritual later. Zahira, who's a German sannyasin traveling at the time, she was traveling, giving groups on Sufi stuff. She lives in New Zealand now. So she had a little thing. We asked her to do it. She didn't do it very much willingly. She just did it according to requests. So there were maybe five people who took sannyas at the same time. And she gave us the malas out of flowers. I have a photo still of that. So that was the thing. And then later on, maybe if not, 2 months later, Sona, who was an old sannyasin from 73, she traveled Russia offering groups, not trying to make money, rather spending money. She had money to spend. And so she gave me mala, and it was also a small celebration. So I had all together three sannyas celebrations, so to say.
That's great. So one question that many people are curious to know about is, you know, nowadays there are so many spiritual paths available. So how come you decided to be with Osho, who is no more physically present?
Yes, so just before I met Osho, I got pretty much close with the Buddhist thing. I met Enlightened Master before Osho, and I had a close connection with him, Japanese monk, and it was very exciting, but the whole Buddhist situation. But then when I met Osho, and I mean not just his words, but the whole world of Osho, so to say, I was impressed by the amount of creativity that he was pouring out of sannyasins, particularly songs and music, since I'm such a music lover and musician. That was a kind of a key for me, you know, like a key element that that world of Osho and the spiritual path that Osho offers to us is so wide and allows so much creativity, not strict by or not regulated by tradition or anything else, like requirements of how the creativity should be. So this element was crucial for me in seeing that this is kind of my home, this is where I am. So it was not a decision, but more like a recognition of the certain environment. So besides Osho's brilliance, and I mean, I love his the way he can put light onto so many things. And besides that, also the world that he created around, so giving platform to sannyasins to be creative musically and with words, with anything. I mean, the commune in the 90s was a perfect example of that expression of creativity. So this is, for me, a very important element that is missing everywhere else. And it's not that I miss something. I mean, when Osho talks about living master, of course it makes sense to me. I mean, I'm not disputing that. But I looked at few people just by chance. I stumbled upon, they just came into my life without wishing or searching. They just happen on my path, and they look so poor next to Osho. I mean, it's just and then, I mean, you can't order a heart, right?
Yes, absolutely. You can't command the heart.
It's like a love affair, you know, and it is really true. It's not like I keep telling this since many years already. I'm with Osho not to become enlightened or not to get anything, you know. It's just like this is a love affair. It's not to get something. So maybe some people who are fixed on becoming enlightened or becoming, I don't know what else, like developing spiritually, they probably need to look for more effective solution. But for me, it's not about that.
In terms of your personal life and issues, so you mentioned the element of creativity that was the click for you to recognize Osho and obviously the heart and the falling in love. But is there any kind of personal issue that Osho and meditation helped you to deal with?
Well, I mean, I was very young when I met Osho, and I didn't have time really to have a lot of problems. You know? So what I could say that maybe I was a bit like gloomy, like looking at the world in a dark sort of way and feeling out of place, because I loved all kinds of things from the 60s, for example, music from the 60s or books, and I was not very much into modern stuff in the beginning when I was a teenager. So I felt an outcast, and when I met Osho, then also it was interesting because I was very young and mostly people were older than me. So for many, many years, I had friends who were 20 years older than me. So it also didn't help to the feeling of being outcast. But then I heard Osho saying that he's collecting misfits and outcasts, and I could see that, you know, and so that made me relax. Because we are all like to accept my individuality and uniqueness and not to try to fit in, you know. So, yeah, but I didn't have any like big issue or something. I mean, of course, gradually things change. Like there were many things along the path. For example, when I got into Pune for the first time, my plan was to share Osho's vision, and I could understand English already then. So I asked to translate a book, and then they gave me The Empty Boat, which was just released in a new edition at the time. And it was such a strong experience for me. So this book is very special, and right now I'm listening to it again. And the concept of an empty boat that Osho talks about in this book, you know, like to empty oneself and not to react to the world and be transparent, more or less. This was very important for me, one of many. So, like, disidentification with myself, so to say, with idea of myself. And when this happens, that solves so many issues, you know. So, that would be my answer.
Okay, well, that's great. So, talking about your biggest passion in life, which is also your profession, you are a musician. And I also know that you produce music very much inspired by Osho. So would you like to tell us a little bit about that and the fact that also you play in festivals related to the world of Osho?
Yeah, I mean, that was the thing, like one, maybe an issue, not my like big issue was, but when I got into Osho world, I started already composing music, and but it was more cathartic type. So I listened to punk rock or like expressive rock. And the music that I could hear, the Miten songs or Milarepa songs that were so important for me and so beautiful, they were very different, having completely different atmosphere and air about it. And I enjoyed it so much, but I started to want to write similar sort of songs and to create similar kind of music. But I was afraid that I'm too stuffed with my emotions, it's not clean enough. So when I got into Pune, it took me 2 months to go to the music department and offer myself as a musician, and not even a singer, but more like an instrumentalist. And that's how I started there, play music, playing guitar. And it took some time, maybe 3 times that I went there before I had enough experience or enough, I don't know what is needed there. Maybe I was not just good enough, I got better before I could sing my song or compose a song that was good enough for the evening meeting, which was a big thing, of course. And it was a big competition also at the time. There were so many musicians and beautiful musicians who were there to play. And that was such a great opportunity for me in big school to come to Pune. And during monsoon time, when there were hardly anybody and the big stars were gone, I mean, so we had space for people like me to play and to learn. And it was what also was great is that quite a lot of people was living there constantly through the year, so we could learn from them, like Satyam, the British Satyam, who I'm still in contact with her. She was the department coordinator, and she taught me a lot of stuff about music and meditation. And it's a whole different genre. It's not so easy to understand. So sometimes people think, like, talking festivals, like the organizers of Osho festivals in different places, they sometimes think that it's enough to get any musician who is capable of playing, and he or she would be good enough to to provide music for meditation and celebration in Osho world, not having this experience. And I always have to explain that it's not so easy, that it's a particular genre of music, and the musician who plays it has to be prepared in terms of having the taste of silence and not to put oneself in it, because it's not about self-expression. It's about creating space. So, I mean, I call it playing for Osho, in meaning that we play as if Osho's there or for his people. So it's for meditation. It's like more serving the space, or like serving a particular, yeah, like trying to create an atmosphere in music, not to take space, but rather create space, provide space, you know, using the musical means. And it's a beautiful thing, because it makes music particular as very special meditation technique for musicians who are into that, because we are there to serve, not to use it, you know, for self-expression. And I read in Darshan Diaries quite a few times that Osho said to musicians that you don't need anything else, just play music, but let the music kind of take over you. And it's not easy to understand, to grasp this, you know, because a lot of people coming the first time into music, they think it's so easy. I mean, to play music for meditators, that it's just being playful, being easy, and being masterful. But I think just now the thought hits me that Osho speaks a lot about therapists, and many questions were about therapists, how they should behave. And as I remember Osho saying, he says, you have to get out of the way and let me work. So when you are in the room, let me do the therapy, and you just step aside. And with music, I think it's the same. So, and because music, as Osho says, I just heard him yesterday saying music stands the closest to silence. And I think it is very effective in bringing people to meditation and being silent and being meditative. And so it gives a lot of responsibility to musicians to create a space. So musician who is in this meditative world and Osho world has to learn to step aside, to take you oneself out of it and let the music be there. And so it's very hard to explain, but it's not impossible. So just by playing, maybe I'm thinking too much of myself, but I think I'm capable of this, and I think I can even train people. So over the years, I could see that I kind of try. I mean, I try to do it, and some people went on with me and kind of got it, I think. So, but it's not easy, definitely. The music world and music and the festivals and music at the festivals, it's a point of a lot of conflicts and friction. And in Pune, it was always a difficult thing.
Well, I can say from my experience as a listener, I heard your music and I use it for meditation sometimes, and it's so beautiful. And I think it's true. I never thought of that because I'm not a musician. I don't have any technical knowledge. But I think it's not enough to just know how to play an instrument to be able to play music for Osho or for meditation. So the last part of the interview is about the sannyas community, because you play at festivals, Osho festivals. So where do you go for music, but also for your own personal meditation? And is there any Osho community where you live?
Well, in Russia, I live now in Moscow, and I lived for a long time in Germany. For 10 years, I lived in Munich. And then I decided that music is something that I want to do, and Germany is impossible in that sense for me. So I moved over to my hometown around 2004. And then I stayed there for a while, then went to Petersburg. And actually, I went to Petersburg because there was a sannyas community there, and it's still there. And it was taking a form of a most kind of tighter group in the summer when we did the meditation camp in the forest. So for 6 weeks we were camping in the forest, creating a commune there out of thin air, so to say. So we were about maybe like 15 people organizing the camp and providing food 3 times a day and regular meditations for 6 weeks. And this project is still happening, but I'm out of it because it's somehow this community was some obstacles were there, like government took over the area where we used to camp. So and there were some disputes there. So that community I was part of more or less during the summer, but during the winter it's not so tighter because people are somehow. I mean, it's hard to find people who are in connection with Osho on a hard level, and also the infrastructure is so difficult to create. So like in Moscow, for example, we don't have a constant place where people could listen to Osho or hear him talking. There are several places, I mean, where people do dynamic when it's not quarantine time. Maybe 3-4 places where people do regular dynamic, but that's it. There is no real connection between people, like people connected more on the level of therapists who are connected with Osho, like Prashantam or Vidmano. But when they get together out of, I don't know, for some reason, I don't see that there is something connecting them that much besides like techniques of meditation that they practice. They know dynamic, but that's it. So the most beautiful community that I was part of since in the last 10 years, I think it's Osho Afros in Greece. And when I came there 2 years ago, I was surprised to find it to be so beautiful and so like really commune oriented, and that Osho spirit is there. I mean the place offers to people who want to get it. It is available without pushing the agenda of like neutral meditative space, or like it's somehow the latest trend as I see it. So that people offer Osho meditations, taking Osho out of it, so to say, giving the idea that the techniques are enough. You don't need to be with the master to do techniques, which is true, but that does not create a community for me. So I want to be, well, if I want to be with people in that sense, I want to be with people who are Osho lovers, not just meditators. And that is the description, that would be description of community, the people who are connected with Osho and who want to learn about themselves. Yeah, so Afros is the place for me, because here in Moscow, I don't know much. I mean, I'm lucky enough to be together with a woman who shares my love to Osho. So we have a little small island of Osho world here in the flat where we stay at the moment. So we got Osho's books, we listen to Osho discourses quite frequently, and we offer meditations, and we share the space of meditation with other people who may be not in love with Osho, but they love us and the silence that happens. So I can't say that in Moscow there is a community of Osho lovers.
I think you made a very important point there when you say that sometimes there are places where Osho is removed from his own meditation, and they're just the emphasis on the technique. And in my personal experience, Osho comes first, and it's more important than the technique itself.
Yeah, but you know, I have a friend. I mean, some friend. I can say a friend. He is going to Pune quite frequently, and he says with a smile on his face and kind of sounding happy that people go there and they do meditations. Even they don't understand that Osho was a person, that he's a master and everything. They don't know who he is. They just know that the brand, so to say, and he finds it great. And to me, it's a bit scary, because I think that meditation techniques themselves without Osho are not enough, because Osho spoke so much, not for nothing, you know. So because the conditioning is so huge, I don't think that meditation by itself can do the trick, you know, because I've been observing it for many, many years, and I see how much Osho puts into discourses, how much in not just information, but he strips away a lot of ideas from the mind. And mind is so strong that I don't think that you can like rewire it doing just dynamic or Kundalini, doing it, you know, even twice a day. I don't see it is enough. You know, I think the concept of Osho is not just meditations, but also the community, the other people is there. Like Osho says, that you don't need personal guidance. You need other meditators next to you, atmosphere of meditation. And by atmosphere of meditation, I think I think atmosphere of meditation is like different people there, everybody has their own idea, and Osho, who's pouring the light on what we are doing and our illusions, stripping away the ideas that we have, and everybody has them on the biological even level. So there needs to be a cooking pot for the transformation to happen. I mean, for most of the people, I would say. So if we remove Osho and create a neutral space with just the techniques, I don't think it will be so effective. I mean, it can do a lot of things. Dynamic is great, and Kundalini is great. And we particularly offer to a lot of people the chakra sounds meditation because we think it's just fabulous and in many areas, particularly with the voice. But it will not transform you that drastically without Osho's insights. And so I think it's really important to keep Osho around.
Well, look, I totally agree with you. I'm with you 100% on what you just said about that. So we are on the same page. So we're heading towards the end, and I think you touched upon a little bit on this, but the next question I have for you is, what is missing in the sannyas world today?
Well, I mean, I don't see the sannyas world, you know. I mean, I know some friends, and sometimes I think that I know everybody, because after 30 years of being connected with Osho, I get the feeling sometimes that I just know everybody who's kind of stayed connected with Osho, and I wanted badly to meet old sannyasins when I was like 20 years ago, and then I my close friends, they are with Osho for many, many years, and then I could see their depths and also their flaws. So I don't see the community, that there is a connection between people. There are small groups here and there, some friends are here and there connected on different levels, and maybe therapists traveling around, and like, for example, I'm in connection with Anisha's pulsation people, so they have particular vibe and they are connected because they have points to meet. And I think the reason for this dispersion is because Pune, as the melting pot, as the meeting place of friends, stopped functioning for many reasons. One of them is ecological. The air was getting worse and worse. Then economical, because India was getting more and more expensive. So we lost the spot where we could meet every year and just melt with each other. So the communities in little and different places, they grew stronger. But even in the 90s, people from Arizona, from that group, Avir Bhava and Raj Yogi, Husta and Kavisha, they had already a particular vibe. So it was a certain group. And people who went there, they also have a certain vibe. And so it's natural, I think. So little tribes are there, and there are body workers. There is people in Cologne and in Utah. So I think it's just natural. I don't think it needs to be some big togetherness. I don't think it's so much important. And Osho talks in Golden Future about small communes here and there. So we all have also very various needs and different looks at life, and everybody hears Osho in their own way. So we all have our individual paths. Of course, commune would help. The center where we could go and just meet, like in Afros, this is so great and so valuable. And what is important is to meet people who have more experience on the path. So the new people mix with the old people and the different old people. Like, for example, in Russia, there are not too many intellectuals in the Osho community. There are mostly people who are into like vital meditations and stuff. And so I'm more intellectual, mindy guy. So for me, it was important to see in Pune that there are people who are like book readers or editors, intellectuals, and many people you interviewed up to now, they are intellectuals and a rare breed for Russia. So every country has their own flavor of Osho. And so it's great if you are intellectual to know or to see that there are intellectual people around Osho, or musicians or painters or different groups of people, so to say, body workers. So, of course, it would be nice to have a place like Pune used to be in the 90s, available, affordable and beautiful. And now it does not serve the job for different reasons, as I said, even not touching the spiritual or whatever side of it. And there are other places, but of course not everybody can go to Greece. I mean, looking from the Russia point. So we're trying, I mean, I hope to create a place here in Russia to create a festival that would unite people on this level, you know, or not unite, but provide a platform for people to meet, to mix, maybe to fight with each other over something, but there would be an exchange. So I would say this missing, but I don't think it needs to be like big togetherness, because it's not exactly point. I mean, the point is to have tools for transformation. Of course, the commune is a transformative thing. And I think it would be great to have a mystery school, as Osho says, in the Beyond Psychology, mystery school instead of commune. But still, mystery school is where you learn, and the learning takes time. You can't learn in 3 days. So in my view, the Pune is what is missing is that you can't really afford to stay more than a month or so on, because it's so expensive. So what would be great is to have a place where you could go and know that you can stay for 2-3 months to absorb experience of other people, to absorb meditations and this vibe that is there. I think that was very vital for myself. In the 90s, that's why I wanted to, I mean, I sold an apartment to go to Pune. I wanted to go so bad that me and my brother, we sold an apartment, took most of it and went to India for a year to be in Pune. I didn't travel anywhere. I just went straight there. I wanted to take it all in, and I'm so happy that I did it. So this is missing, I think, because if somebody learns about Osho now, I mean, learning about Osho Resort and then learning the prices, for many people, it's unaffordable. I mean, you can go have a little look, but 3 days is not enough. That would be my answer.
Yeah, no, it's very insightful, and it's very interesting for us, for Chetan and I, to listen and collect all your impressions of all the sannyasins around, because, you know, more and more we think of Lovosho as a platform to bridge the sannyas community, and also not just to learn from the old sannyasins who were with Osho, but also to understand what's missing in the sannyas community today, listening to you guys and us, because we are like you. We were not with Osho, but we want to definitely carry on, and we are with Osho in spirit today, for sure, 100%. So the last question I have for you, as you know, in the Lovosho podcast, we interview the people who lived and learned from Osho. So do you have any questions that you would like to put forward to the old sannyasins?
Interesting. I mean, I've been asking, of course, but now I don't think I have a question, because I mean, it's the question is always individual to a person, you know, but I wouldn't have a question, like a general question.
I guess you've been around old sannyasins for many years, so you probably asked them already.
Yes, I think so.
Okay, great. So thank you so much, Atmoravi. That's the end. It's been a real pleasure connecting with you. I think you shared something very, very beautiful. Your love for Osho is very strong and clear. And I wish you all the best with your project, ideally, you know, to see a community flowering in Russia, more in tune with your understanding and likings. That'd be absolutely great.
Thank you, Swaram. That was a pleasure to be part of this great project. Thank you. It's you are doing very important thing, like collecting, like I said, the atmosphere of individual people, like talking, the frequency of the voices already gives a lot. And it gives me a chance to hear my old friends, like Subban, for example. I haven't seen him for 20 years, I think. And he was on your show, which is really great. So thank you.
Thank you, my friend. Lots of love and a big hug.
Yes. Big hug from Moscow.
Bye-bye now.
Thank you for listening to the Lavo Show podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, you can show your appreciation by leaving a review on iTunes. Visit lavoshow.com for new episodes, blogs, and much more.